Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey through the Bible broadcast. And of course, my name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your cohorts. I am a Messianic pastor or a Messianic rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith, which tend to answer the perplexing questions that hinder our spiritual relationships with our Heavenly Father and with Yeshua, or Jesus, our Savior. Now, at this time, I have distinct honor to also welcome the other half of our host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello. Thank you, Rabbi. I'm glad to be a co-host of the show with you. Of course, it is a blessing to be able to share the truth of the Word of God, and we also refer to him, Jah. This is our 26th show, and we will continue to discuss the question about the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say thank you for the introduction, and I'll hand it back over to you for prayer.
All right. Well, we will go ahead and start up with prayer. First of all, Father, acknowledging that we need forgiveness, that we need you to forgive us and for ourselves to forgive us of sin, iniquity, and transgression. Father, we just lift ourselves up to you, knowing that you see all, know all, and are aware of every single thing that we do and or say. Father, with that being said, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you also for giving us the strength to forgive others of sin, of iniquity, and of transgression that they've done towards us. Father, we release them from debtor's prison right now. We release them for all of the things that they've done, said, or even thought to do that weren't able to actually manifest against us and against our family. Father, I thank you, and we thank you, Father God, that you're teaching us each and every day that we and ourselves can release ourselves from debtor's prison by releasing others. So we utilize that technique. We utilize that spiritual principle right now in the name of Yeshua. Holy Spirit, we ask, because you are the great teacher, we ask that you come and that you begin to enlighten us and illuminate us with the word and understanding of truth so that we can fulfill and walk in the fullness of truth. We thank you for the topic of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that you begin to continue to show us the different aspects of test, trial, and temptation that deal with our disobedience to the Father and to Yeshua, and grieving and hurting and hindering our relationship with the Holy Spirit. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. And so just as to recap from the previous show, the 25th show, Rabbi, you were letting us know that we go through tests, trials, and temptations. When you pass the test, you don't experience the trial. But when you fail the test, you then go through a trial. When you pass the trial, then you don't experience the temptation. But when you fail the trial, then you go through temptation. And as you stated before, God doesn't tempt us. You know, that is something that in which the enemy is allowed to do, to confront us. So last show, you used Jonah as an example of one who ended up having to go through a trial because he didn't want to be obedient to the instruction of Yah. And another thing you said was that Jonah had to go through a trial because of his disobedience. So a trial comes when our will says no, and every single thing is tested always by our love for Yah. And then you also gave a great example of a movie that's called The 33, and it was dealing with the people in Chile, 2010. And just as a summary, it was two leaders, the ex-military and the safety officer, but the ex-military chose life, and they were able to survive for 60 days. And so I'll hand it back over to you to continue with the next portion of our show.
Amen. Amen. Very, very well put in an excellent synopsis. Thank you very much, Evangelist Tanita Jones. Now, with that, we're going to jump right into the aspect of what happens to an individual, to us, when we failed the test, so therefore we have to go to spiritual court, if you will. We have to go through a trial. We fail the trial because of our will. Okay? Now remember, we fail a test because of our lack of love. I want to make sure we understand that. We fail a test. Tests are always, the tests of God are always to test our love for God. Every time he gives us a test, he's testing, do you love me more than this? When Yeshua was talking to Peter, and he was getting ready to leave for heaven, and he was in his recreated body because he had already resurrected from the grave. And he was talking to them on the beach, and he was looking at Peter, and he says, do you love me more than these? And he asked him three times in three different aspects of the terminology of love and friendship. And when he was doing it, it began to perplex Peter, because Peter was understanding as the intensity of the terminology got stronger. He was understanding that Yah, through Yeshua, was looking into his heart of hearts and asking him, do you love me more than any of these disciples here? Because if you do, then you will not go through a trial, because you will not you will not fail the test. Abraham, we gave an example of Abraham, and Abraham failed the test. Abraham waited for a long time, 99 to 100 years old, before 99 to 100 years old before he actually received the promise that was given to, that was promised to him back when he was 75 years old. He was promised by God that he would have a son because he was without an heir to his throne. He didn't have a child. And when we read Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, we see where Abraham loved Isaac more than Yah. And when he loved Isaac more than Yah, he immediately was thrusted into a trial. The trial was to give up his son, but not just to give his son up, but he himself had to physically bind his son and go through the act of giving his son as a sacrifice. As a father who loves their son, my sons, that had to be the one of the most grueling endeavors that Abraham had to go through. But we don't have to go through it as long as we keep the priority right. And that's what the father was saying. I must always be your priority. The moment that I slip from being your priority and you begin to love anyone, your spouse, your children, things of this world, when you begin to love anything more than me, then automatically you have failed immediately. You have failed the test. And then, therefore, you have to go through the trial. Once you are going through the trial, like Jonah, Jonah passed the test of being tried. He was tried, and then through his trial, he told them what to do in order to stop the trial. Throw him overboard. Within that three-day period, many scholars, you know, debate on whether or not he died in the fish's stomach or not, to enact the same kind of death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua that Yeshua spoke of. But regardless of whether it was or was not, one thing is for sure. He passed that temptation because that was the last test that he was going to receive. That was the last opportunity for him to get it right. while he was in that belly of the whale, or the big fish, as many say. Now, what happens when you fail not only a test, not only a trial, but what happens when you fail a temptation? Then what do you do? Well, one of the greatest examples in all the Bible of an individual who failed the test and then failed the trial and then failed the temptation, but yet and still found grace in the eyes of God. The one individual that has done all of that would be King David. So what we're going to do now is we're going to begin to go and go through the process of understanding how and what happened to King David through a test, through a trial, and also through a temptation. And we're also going to look at the penalties that were suffered through each one of those. Okay? So we're going to start off with 1 Chronicles chapter 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to start with chapter 20 and verse 1. And in that, what I want everyone to really take a good, hard look at, we're going to go probably 1 through until we get to verse 4. Okay.
Okay.
But what I want everybody to look at is when it says, at the time that kings go out to battle. And what you'll begin to see is you'll begin to see the setup. He's literally getting set up. Now, understand this before she reads it, before Evangelist Tanita Jones reads this. I want you to understand that this was the time that King David was starting to get a little bit up in age. So much so that King David almost got killed in one of the battles previous to this. And in this battle, one of the giants was about to kill King David, and then one of King David's men came up and protected King David and killed the giant. Now, one of the things that we've got to understand that we don't understand, and it's so terrible, and I live it, we all live through these things that we don't understand. And that is, how many rocks, stones did the young David go and was instructed to get at the brook? Evangelist Tanita, could you answer that for me?
You said how many stones?
Yes, ma'am. When he was going up against Goliath.
He had, I think it was 5 stones.
Yes, that's correct. Yes. That's correct.
Okay.
Now, King David, at the young age, was an expert at the slingshot. And we're talking about an ancient Hebrew slingshot, not like ones that we have today. But he was an expert at knowing how to kill an individual or an animal with his slingshot. He was an expert. He did not need those 5 stones. Now, most of us know the answer, so I'm just going to make it rhetorical and I will answer it myself. Why did David have 5 stones if he was only going against one giant? It was because the call of God on his life, please listen to this, this is so important. The call of God upon his life to kill 5 giants, all related to Goliath. That was the call on his life. And Evangelist Tanita Jones, as life has it, after he killed the first one, there was so much fanfare and so much excitement and celebration and promotion and things of this nature that through the course of all of that, King David got sidetracked.
Amen.
And he never fulfilled the perfect will of God with those five stones. And as he got older in age, those giants came after him. And the older he got in age, the less able he was to be able to have the strength and utilize that strength of God to fulfill the purpose and the call on his life at his youth. As he got older, he got weaker, not just weaker naturally, but also weaker spiritually. So now he's getting up in age, and now the test is coming. And in this test, these individuals, these, you know, one of his generals and his commanders and his mighty men of valor are taking and holding his arms up by doing what he should have done. And in this last battle before 1 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 1, when he almost dies, trying to fulfill what he should have fulfilled early in his youth, his men and his general asked him and begged him to stay away from the battle from now on. So we pick it up there. And as you begin to read, you're going to read from that vantage point. I want everybody to get that aspect of the historical, cultural understanding of this passage.
Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 20 and verse 1 through about 4 or 5. And we're just going to stop at each one so I can just kind of pull out and extrapolate some of the finer points, if that's okay.
Okay, yes. So First Chronicles 20, verse 1, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time kings go out to battle, that Joab led out the armed forces and ravaged the country of the people of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem, and Joab defeated Rabbah and overthrew it.
Okay. Now, in Reba, the city, remember, these were giants that were being dealt with, that supposed to be dealt with David. But David had grown weary because he didn't do it when the timing was perfect. He got sidetracked when the timing was perfect. And it says, at the time that kings go out to battle. So when the time that the kings go out to battle, what was David doing? It said, David tarried at Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He was in the king's palace. At the time that the kings go out to battle, David stayed home. So the first test was for him and for us is to be where we should be. How many times, for myself and for others, have we been asked to do something, and as we're going throughout our day, been distracted by either not being where we should be or procrastinating in being where we should be? And then all of these incidences and significant emotional events begin to happen, and we wonder, why are they happening? And the thought comes to your mind. If I would have done this or that or been over here where I was supposed to be, then I would have never been able to entertain that or been exposed to this or allowed for this catastrophe to happen to me.
That's right.
This is what is happening to King David. So with that being said, that's the first test. And we're going to go on and read verse 2 and verse 3. But when we get to verse 4, we're going to see that the father had grace on King David. And instead of giving him a trial, after a test. But what happened was he ends up getting another test. So go ahead and read, if you would, verse 3 and 4.
Okay. Do you want me to read verse 2, Rabbi, before I go to
verse
2?
Yeah, verse 2. I'm sorry. I'm getting way ahead of myself.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Okay. All right. Then David took their king's crown from his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold. And there were previous set on David's head. Also, he brought out the spoil of the city in great abundance. Verse 3. And he brought out the people.
Now, stop for a second.
Okay.
Stop for a second. Who got the glory for that battle? If you look in verse 1, it says Joab, the second in command. He's the one that got the glory because the king was not there.
That's right.
They gave David the spoil. They gave the honor to him. But the actual glory of that battle belonged to Joab. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, verse 3. And he brought out the people who were in it and put them to work with saws, with iron picks, and with axes. So David did to all the cities of the people of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. Now, do you want me to go to verse 4, Rabbi?
Yes, go right ahead.
Now, it happened afterwards that war broke out at Gezer with the Philistines, at which time, now you'll have to help me with the pronunciation. Is it Sebechai?
It's Sebechai.
Okay,
Sebechai.
Killed, and
then
that
Sapaya. Mm-hmm.
Who was one
that
of
was
the
a child? And it says what? That it was a child of the giant.
Giant, yes. And they were subdued.
So this was another what? What was this? This was another one of those
another
stones.
Giant. Yeah, yeah.
This was another giant. So you had a giant in Ammon, and Rabbah. There was a giant there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have another giant, and a son of the giant here that was slain. Now these were giants that who was supposed to slay with those five stones?
David.
Thank you. Because of the course of time and getting distracted and all of that stuff, they flourished and began to have children.
Wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it says here, did you read verse, you already read verse 4 already, right?
Yes, I read verse 4, and I was
okay,
you go ahead.
Yeah,
and
I'm just going to put it. I'm going to put it in my translation. It says, there arose a war, at Gezer with the Philistines, but David stayed home. So David wasn't here for that one either.
Wow.
Now, it's significant that David needed to be there because God had anointed him and anointed those stones to pass the judgment and penalty that God had awarded to these giants. And obviously, to each giant that was destroyed, there was spoil, there was reward and honor that was given.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Yes.
So when we begin to look at this, one of the things that I want to point out, and we've got to go back to another scripture to pull that out, is that there's a progression in the steps of sin that is happening. And that progression is causing for a trial to be set up for David. And see, David allowed his anointing to be, or the mantle to be put on Joab, when that wasn't what the father wanted. Now, I want you to quickly go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. Now, I don't know what version you have, but I'm going to read it also after you read it in the NASB, okay?
Okay. You said 2 Samuel 11, verse 1?
Yes, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1.
Okay, I have the New King James Version. Okay, and it reads, "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Reba.
Mm-hmm.
But David remained at Jerusalem."
Okay, see, David, see, so that gives you the same understanding. Okay,
yes.
Continue to read.
Verse 2, "Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful."
Stop just for a second. Now, mm-hmm. what is happening is the other war, okay, with the other giant, happened before this incident with Bathsheba. Okay? Now, remember, you're taking it from a couple of different vantage points. This one vantage point is 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2 through 5, which you're reading. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this, the other vantage point is through the Chronicles, chapter 20.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, the Chronicles, they happen in the chronological order. That's why they call it Chronicles, because
mm-hmm,
it's in the order in which it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So in the order in which it happened, the Bathsheba situation, okay, had not happened yet, where in Samuel, it negated the other battle. So I just want to keep that in order so that you can understand that Yah loved him so much, because he was, no doubt, a man after God's own heart, that he gave
mm-hmm.
him another test. He didn't give him a trial right away.
Mm.
He gave him another test. He gave him grace. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then
wow.
this happens. Then, now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. Where should David have been, Evangelist Anita?
He should have been on the battlefield with Joab, his servants, and all.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have to be the bear of bad news and say we're going to stop here and allow Evangelist Tanita to share with you information pertaining to how you can get more information pertaining to us and our ministry and all of that. All right?
Amen.
Take it away, Evangelist Tanita.
Okay, and I'm excited about next week, so make sure you all tune in at 6 p.m. on Thursday. The show is held weekly on Thursdays, again, at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard. You can email your questions to tjonesbts@gmail.com. That is tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry is Bethlehem Ministries, and we have two websites that you can research us on, and that's www.bethlehem.org, BETHHASHEM.org. And then we have a Facebook page, and that is www.facebook.com/Bethlehem Ministries, STRIES. If you would like to attend the services, please email us at Bethlehem. At Bethlehem@yahoo.com. That is B E T H hashem@yahoo.com for directions. And then also, for those that are interested in Zuhl College, you can email us at admin@bethhashem.org. Thank you for attending the show.
All right. Well, I praise Yah that each and every person is seeing themselves. And I say that not to be a person that is pointing the finger at any one person, because as I'm saying this, I'm looking at myself and critiquing myself and taking inventory of myself and asking the Father to help me, just like we desire for Him to help you in this broadcast, to be able to be where you should be and never be where you shouldn't, because it opens the opportunity of the enemy to cause you to disqualify yourself. So we bless you in the name of Yeshua, and we pray that you have been richly blessed and being encouraged and beginning to walk a more victorious life. In Yeshua's name, shalom, shalom.